So this bill will increase timber harvests in Montana across all 10 national forests. It'll create 5,000 jobs. Importantly, and this is why we have the county commissioners behind this bill and the National Education Association, the NEA, supports this bill, because it generates tax revenues for these communities for schools and infrastructure. We have these communities in Montana that depend on the timber industry for revenues because they're surrounded by national forests. There's no tax base there. The federal government doesn't pay taxes. And so this is why this bill is so important, and we're thrilled to see it pass in a bipartisan fashion. In fact, the ranking member, the senior Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee, Congressman DeFazio of Oregon, voted for this bill because, again, he's from a timber state, understands why it's important that we start restoring the timber industry across these western states.
But a major part of the bill is to address some of the root causes of these wildfires across the U.S., especially in the West.
Well, it is. And we're never going to be able to eliminate catastrophic wildfires, unfortunately. It's nature's way oftentimes of restoring a forest. But we can reduce the risk of these catastrophic wildfires by fuel reduction. You know, I spent a lot of time, Dan, this summer. I flew over that Rock Creek fire outside of Red Lodge, flew over the Lolo fire outside of Missoula. Speaking with the firefighters, the Forest Service personnel, they will tell you that we need to have better forestry practices, fuel reduction practices that will never eliminate catastrophic wildfire, but we can reduce the risk. And when there's a catastrophic wildfire, it is an environmental disaster. It can destroy watersheds through erosion. The amount of SO2 and CO2 and mercury emitted in a wildfire is significant. And so we're better environmental stewards when we have better timber management practices.
Following the House passage, the Obama administration issued an immediate veto threat on this bill, and other opponents say the bill sets unrealistic deadlines and mandates for harvest, harms protected roadless areas, and curtails public input on timber sales on national forest lands.
Well, first of all, remember, we can't harvest timber in federally designated wilderness. So this applies to our national forests. And we used to have a thriving timber industry. The hearings demonstrated that the problem is we have these fringe groups, oftentimes extreme groups, that are filing these lawsuits sometimes on technicalities and procedural basis that are holding up timber harvest in the state of Montana, as well as other western states. So I think the president's a bit premature in casting judgment on this bill. I sure hope he would be willing to sit down as we work with the Senate, as we work with Senator Tester and Senator Baucus in a bipartisan fashion to find a way through this and to craft legislation that will work in the Senate as well as the House and get the president to sign it.
Would the bill not push harvest and therefore necessarily roads into areas that are now considered roadless areas?
Well, there'll be we have millions of acres of national forests, and clearly Montanans want to have a balance between conservation, preservation, the ability to enjoy the outdoors, but we also need to have jobs and tax revenues for our schools and county infrastructure. So Montanans want to see both, and I think sometimes it's the extremes on either end that seem to drive this argument, this either-or approach. I'm convinced most Montanans want to see a both-and approach. They want to work where they also like to play, as we say in Montana, but you got to have a job so you can stay in the state.
Others argue that a bill like this may not be addressing the root problem of these catastrophic wildfires, the continuing effects of climate change. Is that something that needs to be done at the federal level in Congress?
Well, there's multiple factors around why we're seeing wildfires. I mean, we see beetle kill going on as well. And in fact, what's frustrating for many across Montana is we see beetle kill move through a forest, and we can't even go in and harvest these trees that are standing dead timber. And you have about 2 or 3 years to harvest those trees. They are still salvageable for lumber purposes, but then beyond that, then they become just rotting trees, but they become part of the wildfire risk. So there's multiple fronts we need to battle to reduce catastrophic wildfires. And so that's why it's important here that we restore our timber harvests, and it will, again, get the jobs back and start reducing some of the risk of wildfires.
Is climate change legislation something that should be pursued as well?
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate right now going on climate change. The climate is dynamic. The climate is always either heating or cooling. I think the real question is going to be what effects would some of these policies have in terms of hardworking Montanans and taxpayers in terms of potentially raising their energy prices, reducing tax revenues to their counties as it relates to natural resources. And so I think, you know, the debate's a broad debate. There's a lot of consequence to some of these policies. And so I think we're going to stay focused on the cause and effect here of what it means to put some of these policies in place, what it might mean to rising energy prices.
I want to move now to talking about the Nutrition Reform and Work Opportunity Act. This is a nearly $40 billion cut to food stamps over the next 10 years. The House passed it last week on a party line vote. SNAP, or food stamps, has traditionally been part of the farm bill, part of a grand bargain of sorts between Republicans and Democrats, farm subsidies for food stamp subsidies. Mm-hmm. Is splitting out SNAP benefits from the farm bill program, is that a sign of the type of political gridlock that is becoming more common in Washington today?
Well, if you kind of look back in the history of the farm bill, and I voted for the first farm bill that came in the House floor when the SNAP was combined with the ag portion. But what's interesting is that when we talk about the farm bill, 20% of the farm bill is actually ag-related policy. 80% are food stamps. And so it's almost a bit of a misnomer to call the farm bill, which really is the food stamp bill with some ag policy attached to it. So I supported the original farm bill when it went through the House. I think there were some good reforms made in the ag side and the food stamp side that got me to the point where I said I can vote and support this. The reality was it wasn't going to pass the House without dividing it up. And we got it through in two different bills. We got the ag portion through. We got the food stamp portion bill. And in some ways what it does, it provides more transparency. So the taxpayer, the American people, can really see what is in the food stamp bill and what is in the ag bill. Sometimes when bills get large back in Washington, they start getting jammed stuff into these 1,000-page bills. That doesn't always produce the best policy.
Some Montana statistics on the SNAP program, $190 million a year. There are about 55,000 children that are on SNAP in Montana, 9,000 seniors. Congressman Daines, the Congressional Budget Office estimates the cuts you voted for in this act would result in 4 million people being denied SNAP benefits next year, 4 million low-income people, low-income families, looking at a nation that does have problems with hunger and problems with poverty. Is this the right way to address these social ills as a nation looking to fix them?
Well, it's and we spent a lot of time really digging into the numbers here on that on the SNAP bill, the food stamp bill. It's important to me that we really understand what we're voting for, what the reforms are looking like, because there are many, many Montanans, as you mentioned, Dan, that depend on this program. It is an important safety net for families, children who are in need. But here's the challenge we face. In 2006, the spending on food stamp was $33 billion. What was proposed in this latest food stamp bill was $82 billion. In other words, the food stamp spending is up 150% in the last 7 years. What we passed in the House was reducing that spending by 5% in light of the fact it's gone up 150% in the last 7 years. What it is, it took the spending from $82 billion a year down to $78 billion a year. The $40 billion I talk about is the fact that it went from $82 billion to $78 billion, but they score that over 10 years. So it's $4 billion times 10 years. That's what they come up with, the $40 billion number. The reality is it's about a 5% reduction in food stamp spending in light of the fact that food stamp spending is up 150%. We believe there's significant opportunity to find savings in the fraud, waste, and abuse that's going on in the food stamp program. Anytime you have that explosion in spending in a federal program, it opens up the potential for waste, fraud, and abuse. And we've got some reforms counted in that bill. So I think what we're really going to see happen here is it's not that we're going to have truly the truly needy here seeing their benefit cut. We're going to see a ability here to save some dollars here because there are some people out there who are gaming the system and there's fraud in the system today. But we'll see what comes out of the Senate. You know, we've sent our bill over to the Senate. There will be a compromise between the two houses. That's the way that James Madison framed it at the beginning of this country. There's a House, there's a Senate. we pass separate bills. There'll be a conference. There'll be a compromise. And I'm sure what will come out will be something different than came out, than we passed in the House last week.
You mentioned the Senate. A lot of Montanans are looking over to Montana's soon-to-be empty Senate seat. Are you going to be running for Senate, Congressman Danz?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've got a pretty big to-do list. We got the Farm Bill passed. We got the CR. We've got Obamacare we're dealing with. We've got the debt ceiling and so forth. So I'm staying focused on doing the job I was elected to do. Most Montanans, I think, feedback I have had is they think these Senate races were far too long last time. The airways were flooded with TV commercials, postcards, and it's the nature of Senate races, it seems. But having said that, we're giving it serious consideration. It requires thoughtful deliberation, and my wife and I are giving a lot of thought to it, having a lot of conversations across Montana about the potential race. But there's not been an open seat for the United States Senate in 36 years. The last time it was open was when Max Baucus ran for it. So it's a very, very important seat for Montana. We're getting that serious consideration. We also recognize we got to make a decision here pretty soon, and we'll get things sorted out here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, do you have a drop-dead deadline for when that decision needs to be made to be a viable candidate?
Yeah, I don't. I enjoy the job that I was sent to do for the people of Montana serving the House. In some ways, you know, the congressional seat is the entire state of Montana. A Senate seat's the entire state of Montana. So I serve the same people either way. In 2014, it's a statewide race either way. But we recognize you also have to get a decision made so other people can make their plans. If we decide to run for the Senate, there'll be an open House seat. And so we'll get it sorted out here in the not-too-distant future.
Okay. Congressman Steve Danz, very interesting discussion, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your time, too.